Holy Gospel according to St. John, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
You may have noticed this is a long lesson. Please be seated. And because it's a dialogue, I've asked a couple of professional thespians to help me with the service. Mark, are you out there? And Brenda? Maybe just a quick word before we strike into this dialogue, and I would really invite you and encourage you to get with the script and see if you can become part of it. One thing to note, Jesus is on his way from Judea, which is to his home area in Galilee. In between is Samaria, and it's kind of logical to go through it, except that Samaria is a place where Jewish folks, Judeans, just did not want to hang out with, that they were kind of victims of stereotype and prejudice, and most folks traveling would hop over the Jordan River and go up the Transjordan and then go over to Galilee and skip. But Jesus is making a special point here. He's intentionally going to Samaria. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
"How is it that you, a Jewish man, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?"
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
"But sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his children and his flocks drank from it?"
"Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life."
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
"Go, call your husband and come back."
"I have no husband."
"You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true."
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem."
"Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jewish people. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth."
"I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us."
"Here I am, the one who is speaking to you."
Just then, his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" That is, really, "What are you doing?" Or, "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people,
"Come and see someone who told me everything I have ever done. Can this be the Messiah?"
They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something.
But I have food to eat that you do not know about.
So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat.
My food is to do the will and accomplish the work of the one who sent me. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor.
Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And Jesus stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So, is this the way the world changes? Sitting by a well at noontime in conversation about water? Is this why Jesus was sent? And what difference does it make to you, to me, to us? As I said, it was no accident or happenstance that Jesus was there. Jesus went out of his way to be there. Or in general, Jewish folks traveling north would avoid Samaria, really avoid the people they regarded as unacceptable, people who would contaminate them upon contact. But Jesus seems to have made a point of it, being there in a place where a person with any honor or any sense would not want to be. The disciples clearly knew that. Is it also so with us? Didn't Jesus, reflecting God's will, go out of his way to encounter you, to encounter me? Is that not the point of the incarnation? Why Jesus was sent? That you might have a conversation, that you might be invited to faith, that faith might work in your hearts. But conversation at noontime at a well in Samaria seems so ordinary, mundane. But this is not just any woman. Is she one for many? And what kind of person is she? It's not true dramatic to say, as I said to the folks downstairs in the Bible class, that she is a dead woman walking. At least she would have been in Jesus' eyes, or should have been. She knows that. A Samaritan who was outcast, who experienced prejudice and stereotype, a woman in a patriarchal society, and an outcast even in her own community. You notice that she's gathering water up at noontime, the hottest point of the day. Who's going to do that? Because all of her friends went at 6 and didn't want her to be with them. So she's unacceptable, even to the unacceptable. She walks, encapsulated in social death, acceptable to no one, victim of prejudice, sexual stereotyping, rejection. Would she even feel acceptable to God? Might that be the fundamental reason Jesus is there? Jesus needs a drink. Does he need her? She is surely the one for whom he was sent. The magnitude of the encounter is suggested by his thirst. I asked folks downstairs, think of the only other time Jesus asked for a drink. Christ's on the cross. I thirst. This story, this encounter, this conversation is a cruciform reality. Is Jesus coming to save, to restore, to bring new life, to take on her death in exchange for his promise of life. A very deep encounter is at work. So, is it cruciform? Is it a mini play of the dynamic of the cross, of Jesus encountering one in absolute need to be called into life? Jesus, the Christ, is willing to be identified with all that is deadly in her life. The deep estrangement she feels, no doubt, within herself, with her own community, with the world at large in its prejudice against Samaritans, with God. That's what the disciples are afraid of. They know the way the world works. It's all his now, and he will pay. Jesus encounters us in the same way. Believe me, he says today. Converse with me. Let's talk a little bit. Speak the truth of yourself. Bring me your need, your loss. She's not so sure about it, so trusting. What's this guy up to? It's very strange in this private place. A man's not even supposed to be talking to a woman alone in that society. So don't we all have trouble recognizing Jesus, believing that God sent him to us and for us to receive God's gift, as it says in this scripture, gift of acceptance, of relationship, of life? In his encounter with the woman, Jesus does not condemn. Perhaps she has been condemned enough in her society. But he does encounter her in the very depths of her need, her being. And that's the beginning of recognition of who he is in this very depth of her suffering, of her ostracism. She begins to see why he has come, who he is, what this living water might be about, what the gift of God might be about. This call to new life is also this day, always, for you as well, in conversation with Jesus, in confession, in an invitation to faith, always to us as well. We can see in her encounter, faith begins to emerge. And so she abides. She's skeptical at the beginning, but then engaged in asking for this gift, beginning to trust. And he now addresses her as a child of God, as one who is in relationship with the Word of life made flesh. Heretofore, he hasn't even mentioned, certainly no name. He's addressed her in anonymity. Now, he says, woman. I think we can hear that as impersonal. But again, as we noted downstairs, this is the way he addressed his own mother with the incident at Cana, the turning of water into wine. It is also the way he will address Mary Magdalene in the Garden of the Resurrection. The Samaritan woman is now valued, is kin with Jesus as mother, as disciple. She is family. She is sister. She is one with the Christ. Jesus says the hour is coming, and it is now here for her. She is alive. Her life is new. Jesus has proclaimed all things to her, and she now knows who she is as a child of God, forgiven, loved, cared for, who she is and why he came. There's that line that says, I am here. It really is just simply I am, which is the biblical designation for God. In all of this conversation, it leads up to a recognition to Jesus' own confession and revelation about who he is. And in this revelation, in this exchange, him taking on her death and giving her his life, She now has agency and purpose in life. He has borne her death, and she abides in him. This exchange has occurred. Nothing more is said between them. I do wonder, did he ever get his drink? She surely did. She now lives in faith. She now has agency and purpose. She leaves her old life behind. Did you notice the jar just gets left? I'm leaving it. And she doesn't go where Jesus said, go back. No, she goes to the city and begins to proclaim good news, bringing life to others. She is now an evangelist. Today, sisters and brothers, we are invited into conversation with Jesus and the one who sent him, to see ourselves with the woman, as the woman, as one for whom Jesus has come to bear our death, our brokenness, our willfulness, all of which he will take to the cross to bring us acceptance, forgiveness, and new life in exchange. Believe me, he says, and the world will change. Amen.